Expat Files with John Mueller, Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the one-of-a-kind show that tells you what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. So let's get started.
She was a picture in old Spanish lace.
I've had some people ask me about my theme song, South of the Border, sung by Frank Sinatra, of course. And actually, the words go, South of the Border, down Mexico way. And that's where the controversy is, because anybody who's been listening to my show for any length of time knows that I'm not recommending Mexico as a destination for expats. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons now, but it should be obvious to you, at least as far as security issues go, when you read any of the newspapers up north. I mean, a day hardly passes when you don't read about the murders and the drug cartels and the kidnappings and the beheadings. I mean, come on, when's the last time you had a beheading up in Cleveland? Or Boise, or Montreal. I don't know, maybe if you like slasher movies, you'll love Mexico. But let's just say, if you want to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America, Mexico is not the place to do it. But as for my theme song, the lyrics say, South of the Border Down Mexico Way. And you know, to be precise, to get to maybe 80% of the Latin American countries, you do have to go south of the border down Mexico Way. I mean, to get to any of the 20 Latin American countries except Cuba, Puerto Rico, and Dominican Republic, anybody coming from North America, at least, has to come by Mexico way. So for all you nitpickers out there who accuse me of having a double standard with a song like Down Mexico Way, when I don't recommend Mexico, find me another song that's more to the point and with somebody like Frankie singing it, then believe me, I'll use it. Now, when I selected my theme song when I first started this show, there was a second runner-up, and I'll play that one for you right now. And if you like it better, or if you have another suggestion, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and we'll vote on it. So what do you think of this one?
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to fill that quota. And the way things are, I'll bet they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planners down in Santa's all say no, no, no. The politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
So, do you like that song better? If you do, shoot me an email. But anyway, let's get on to some of today's topics. Now, in one of last week's shows, I was talking about how a little less than half the population of Latin America, around 250 million people, use gas propane for cooking, and how a much smaller percentage of them, mostly people with money, use gas propane for central hot water heating. And down here I'd say that less than 5% of the population has central hot water heating at all. And I doubt if anyone up in the United States or Canada has any experience at all with heating hot water with a tank of propane gas. Now, for most people up north, that's a completely foreign experience. In fact, if you ask a first world person if he'd consider using a tank of propane gas to heat his water, he'd probably think it was pretty dangerous. Unless you happen to be talking to someone who owns an RV like a Winnebago. It's just not common anywhere up north, but it is common in Europe, and you'll see it almost everywhere. And in fact, I bet 99% of all you first world people didn't even know you could use propane gas for that. You probably thought propane gas was just for Sunday afternoon barbecues. Anyway, did you know that you could use natural gas, or more commonly, propane gas, to power a freezer or a refrigerator without being hooked up to any electric power supply at all? In fact, there's some excellent refrigerator and freezer brand names that come from Europe that use propane or natural gas exclusively. Now, if using fire to create ice cubes isn't counterintuitive to you, I don't know what is. Imagine having a tiny gas flame going at all times that somehow cools your refrigerator and eventually turns water into ice. And that's exactly what a refrigerator like that does. Now, many people who live way up in the hinterlands in Canada, the United States, and in Europe, they actually do use that system, as do some people down in Latin America. In fact, I've run into quite a few people down in Chile and Argentina who use that kind of refrigeration system, and they're very happy with it. Though I haven't run into any systems like that in Central America, north of Colombia, that is. But down in South America, where the people have a lot of European ancestry, they seem to have their fair share of these kind of systems. And that's certainly because the system is pretty commonly used in many places in Europe. So these gas propane refrigerators and freezers that use no electricity at all, well, believe it or not, they're actually much cheaper to run than your average refrigerator freezer, especially down here, where the price of electricity per kilowatt hour is about twice what you pay up in the United States. And what's even stranger is the fact that Albert Einstein himself was one of the guys that patented this system back in the 1930s. So who says he never did anything remotely practical? So what about all those bottles of propane gas that you see in about half of all the Latin American homes? Now, I'll be honest with you. The first time I ever saw one of these propane gas setups in a Latin kitchen, I wanted to run for the hills. Because in most of the kitchens down here, you'll see that beat-up, dented, rusted bottle of propane gas right out in the open. It'll be wedged in a corner, under a shelf or a sink, right next to the dog's bed, or worse yet, jammed right up against a hot oven or stove. So what you got is a couple of gallons of extremely flammable liquid under very high pressure, hooked up to a rusted-out hulk of a stove by a short length of cheap plastic garden hose, which is, for a first-world person, a very scary thing to see. So the first time I saw a setup like that, my eyes bugged out and I couldn't believe it. First of all, up in the first world, you'd never be able to keep that gas propane tank in the house at all. It's against all fire codes and would void any insurance policy claim if anything ever did catch fire. Not that anybody in Latin America even carries fire insurance. Well, I've never met anybody who has, rich or poor, but we'll talk about that on a future program. Anyway, back to that propane tank in the kitchen. In the first world, any of the tubes or pipes that you use to hook up the thing to the stove or another appliance must be made out of solid metal, like copper or galvanized steel. Any kind of plastic tubing or rubber hose is completely out of the question. It's just too unsafe. But that's what most people use down here because it's dirt cheap. And finally, we have to take into account the deplorable condition of the propane tanks themselves. Now, the way it works down here, when your propane tank is empty, the company takes it away and trades you for another one. And I'm not lying when I tell you I've never seen a brand new tank down here. Every single one that I've ever come in contact with would never pass muster in the first world. And that includes all the tanks that you see loaded on trucks driving down the road any time of day. When you're behind one of those trucks, if you're not looking closely, you'd think it was a load of scrap junk metal going to the dump. But no, these are trucks loaded with propane gas under very high pressure, headed for consumers' houses. Now, doesn't that make you feel good? In other words, the vast majority of propane gas tanks down here are so noticeably defective that you have to wonder why anybody in their right mind would accept one of those things. And worse yet, they don't end up in the garage or outside on the patio or in the garden, where if it burst or leaked, it couldn't do that much damage. They end up in the kitchen, usually right next to a hot stove. And if you know anything about Latin families, you'll know that the kitchen is where most people hang out all day. And what really disturbs expats is how the locals recycle these horrible tanks over and over again without a single comment and without batting an eye. And I guess that's because there's no government agency regulating anything like that down here. I take that back. There probably is such an agency, but inside, there's two fat inspectors sitting on their dead asses watching a soccer game, and all the secretaries and ladies are sitting around filing their nails or on the phone talking about their soap operas. And that's what the public is used to, so they don't know any other way. And to give you a good idea, in my case, in the last four deliveries of 100-pound gas propane tanks that I've had, none of those tanks would actually stand up on its own. In other words, the tanks were so bent, twisted, and lopsided, they actually had to be tied to something or they'd fall over. But you know, sometimes when expats get together and discuss things like this, we think maybe we're being a bit overreactive and that the regulations in the first world just might be a bit too strict. That's because after all I've told you, still, you just don't read in the paper or hear any stories about explosions or catastrophes or fires or pretty much anything negative associated with the gas propane industry. Even though, to us first worlders, it looks like they're breaking all the rules. Well, maybe it's just dumb luck, but I don't know how dumb luck could go on forever. It beats me how dumb luck seems to play such a huge part in the lives of common men down here. Even with all these multiple hazards that we just don't have in the first world, the people still seem to live a good long life. Beats me how they do it, but it does look like there's a good master's thesis in this somewhere. This subject really needs studying. It seems to me the people down here have learned how to chill out before us brilliant first worlders even invented the word. But down here, any casual observer would just have to say, dumb luck seems to play a huge part in the daily lives of the common man. And I'd say there's no better example of this than the way they do their half-assed electrical hookups down here. In fact, I'd say that at least 50% of all the electrical wiring jobs down here wouldn't come close to meeting first-world wiring codes. Yet you rarely read about people getting electrocuted, though there's no one down here, including me, that doesn't get the occasional kick-in-the-pants electrical shock. So, what can I recommend to expats as far as gas propane goes? Well, first of all, I do recommend you use it, because it's so much cheaper, perhaps 50% cheaper, than using electric service for cooking, for centrally heating your water, and for drying your clothes. And about drying your clothes down here, you know, if you have a live-in cleaning lady, or a lady that comes a few times a week, she'll do your laundry and hang your clothes outside on a clothesline to dry, just like your grandma used to do back in the day. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and it will save on your energy bill. But in most of Latin America, you have to remember they only have two seasons. That is, the rainy season and the dry season, and some people just say winter and summer. Anyway, during the rainy season, it rains practically every day, and when it rains, it comes down in absolute sheets. So, as you might imagine, it's very difficult to hang your things out on a clothesline and expect to be able to predict when the sun will be out long enough to thoroughly dry them. And that's why nearly every upper-middle-class person, and most every expat, has a clothes dryer. And the thing is, there really aren't too many clothes dryers in Latin America at all. It's pretty much a status item. And when a local person finally buys one, it's almost always the electric model, because they have no idea, and nobody ever told them, they can buy one that uses propane gas. In fact, if you go to any appliance store, for every 10 or so electric models, you'll see just one lone propane gas model. And it's always about 20% more expensive, maybe 75 bucks, big deal. The fact is, most people who buy clothes dryers down here are the same people who buy a lot of other first-world appliances that in the end they rarely use because they mostly give up on them. They buy these so-called high-end appliances because, one, they have a little extra money, and two, because everybody up in the first world has them. Because down here it's considered a status symbol and that you've really made it if your kitchen looks almost first world. And like I said before, Latin Americans love anything and everything first world, even if they don't know how to use half of the junk they've accumulated. And basically, the average Latin American who buys his first dryer or buys his first electric dishwasher or buys his first garbage disposal or trash compactor, well, chances are he doesn't know the first thing about how to use the thing, much less do the maintenance. In other words, a socially and financially ascending Latin person or Latin family will buy these first world appliances that they themselves have never had before or were even exposed to as children. Because down here, the up-and-coming Latin middle classes and upper classes never had that stuff as kids, only your basic washing machine, refrigerator, television, and stove. So as children, these Latins never had that kind of exposure. We first worlders did when we were kids at home. We all knew by the time we were 12 years old how to rinse a dish and shove it in the dishwasher and turn it on. And by the time we were 16, we probably even knew how to take the coins and the gum and the condoms out of our pockets and actually run the clothes dryer. The fact is, we grew up with dryers and dishwashers and trash compactors and garbage disposals and Cuisinarts. And we watched our brothers and our sisters and our parents use that stuff. Having that kind of stuff around the house was second nature to us. I mean, we never had to pull out the dryer or the dishwasher manual and read it and learn. At least, nobody I ever knew had to. But down here, it's different. The upwardly mobile Latin family buys that stuff that they never had before, usually on credit, of course. and they have it delivered to the house, and the first thing they do is turn it over to the cleaning lady, who has about a fourth grade education, who herself more than likely came from a family that lived in a tin shack and cooked with wood. And that's why all those Latin upscale families that I've visited, they've got all those first world appliances, but a good percentage of them are sitting there doing nothing. In other words, it's like that Abflex machine you bought, and now it's stuffed in the closet or the garage with the rest of your exercise equipment that you never use. So, after clogging the dishwasher with massive chunks of food, burning out the garbage disposal by dropping a few forks in it, and melting a few plastic bags in the clothes dryer, not to mention never once emptying the lint filter, because nobody knows what a lint filter is. Well, generally, after a few disastrous episodes like that, most of the time, the cleaning lady goes back to doing everything by hand. And all those new machines in the kitchen, well, they stay put but unused. Okay, but let's get back to the fact that most expats will end up using gas propane. Now, like I said before, the propane gas tanks that you're going to be swapping back and forth with the gas company are going to be dented, rusted, and dangerous looking. So what can you do about that? Well, you could go out and buy a brand new tank, and the gas company will surely sell you one. But when that tank runs out and you do your first trade, you're going to get a tank back that looks like a piece of junk, and your brand new one's going to get recycled off to another person. So you can kiss that one goodbye. That sounds like a bad idea, right? But here's what you can do to avoid that. You can go ahead and buy a brand new tank, and when that tank's empty, you drive it down to the gas company and they'll fill it right in front of you and you get your nice new tank back. And better yet, you buy two brand new tanks. And when one's empty, you just switch over to the other tank and at your leisure, drive that empty tank down to the gas company and have them fill that up in front of your face and you got that brand new tank back too. And it's nice to have an extra tank on hand because your gas tank will always seem to run out at the most inopportune time. Like a Saturday night right in the middle of taking a hot shower. Or a Sunday afternoon when you're filling up that jacuzzi. And don't laugh. There are a fair number of expats down here who do have jacuzzis. And believe it or not, down in Latin America, there are any number of companies that actually make a pretty good hot tub. And they come in all sizes and shapes. And although they're really not brand name jacuzzis, they use all first world brand name parts. The stuff that counts, like the jets and pumps and heaters. And down here, you can get a really nice hot tub for less than half of what you'd pay in the first world. And that's why so many expats have them. The fact is, the Latins have become pretty good at plastics. That includes injection molding and fiberglass, too. After all, it's not a new technology, and it's not brain surgery. Okay, but let's get back to that propane gas issue and how expats should deal with it. Well, like I mentioned, one way to feel very safe and go by first world standards is to buy your own brand new tank, and that way you can take it down to the local gas company and they'll fill it up right in front of you. But better yet, here's what I highly recommend. Instead of going out and buying new tanks and having to haul those big things yourself in your nice clean car, and remember, a 100-pound tank of gas actually weighs about 130 pounds or even more. That's because you have to count the weight of the metal in the tank too. And that tank's about 5 feet high. And it's not easy to maneuver, believe me. So how do you get around that without getting a hernia or dropping the damn thing on your big toe? Don't laugh, I've done it. Well, here's what I recommend. By all means, let the gas company come and trade their junky, beat-up, dented, lopsided tanks with you. But make sure you store your tanks outside in a separate little enclosed storage room, far away from your living areas and your windows and doors. In other words, you do what a lot of expats do. You have a local handyman come over and tell him you want a small cement block storage room built inside or adjacent to your garage. Now, a room like that only needs to be about 4 foot wide by 6 foot deep. And if it's made out of cement block, which is really the only way to go, and there's a light inside and it has a steel door, it's probably only going to set you back about $250. And 50 of that is going to be that cement worker's labor cost. And then you're completely safe. It doesn't really matter what happens to those tanks because even if there's a leak, it's just going to vent to the outside. And oh yeah, do leave a vent high up in that little room just in case there is a leak. And you do that quite simply by telling the guy who's building it to leave out one cement block in the top course. Now that'll give you plenty of ventilation. And there's nothing more cheap and simple than doing that. And if you do all that It doesn't matter how crappy those tanks are sitting in that little room. And don't make the mistake, and follow the locals' bad example, of using a plastic tube or a rubber hose to run the gas from that room to your appliances. Instead, spend the extra $30 or $40 and have that handyman run flexible copper tubing from the regulators on your gas tanks to your appliances. And make sure he puts a shutoff valve on the copper line to each appliance. And in that little 4x6 storage room that you have with those tanks in it, make sure that steel door that I was talking about has a padlock on it. That way, nobody can go inside that room and screw around with your tanks. Not that they would, but who knows what your security's like around there. I mean, if you're in a gated community, there might be kids around. And once being a kid myself, I remember me and my friends opening doors and getting into places that we shouldn't have, and turning valves and knobs and pressing buttons that we shouldn't have. And just one more thing about this gas propane business before we go on to something else. Ask any expat who drives a lot down here, and he'll tell you that one of the most unnerving things about driving is getting behind a truck loaded with propane gas bottles. Now, in my mind, there are only two things worse than that on the road. One is when you get behind a big truck loaded with cement culverts because they're almost never tied down properly. And the ropes they use are almost always thin, terribly inadequate, and horribly frayed. And if one of those trucks hits a pothole and a half-ton culvert snaps a rope and drops off the back of that truck, well, let's just say you wouldn't have to worry about the hazards of propane gas anymore. And that's another reason why you want to keep more than the recommended distance between you and the driver in front of you. Not to mention the fact that so many trucks down here are dangerously overloaded. That means the driver couldn't make an emergency stop if his life depended on it. And speaking of driving fears, there's one more kind of truck you never want to get behind. And that's a cattle truck. And that's because down here, nobody enforces regulations on that stuff either. And if you've ever been behind a cattle truck, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Now bear with me while I give you a few of the gory details. I know you'll appreciate this. Now driving through most big cities, eventually you're bound to get behind a cattle truck on its way to the slaughterhouse. Now, I don't want to gross you out here, but if you're into tailgating, I can guarantee you that not only is the smell going to kill you, but soon enough your windshield is going to have a fine coating of atomized feces. Yuck. And not only that, when that truck pulls up to a stop and takes off again, a cascading sludge of liquid feces is going to drip off the back end of that truck, hit the pavement, and splash back up on your car. So, need I tell you, you never want to get behind a truck like that. And if by some twist of fate you are, there is no safe distance between you and that dripping tailgate. And you're going to wish you'd have stayed in bed that day. And when you get back home, there's going to be another little surprise waiting for you. Your car's going to deposit a little of that stuff on your garage floor. And if you take a deep breath when you're there, you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you have a dog, watch out. Because with his sense of smell, you won't be able to get him out of that garage for love or money. You know, it's funny how we love our dogs, and they love us, but they also love poop. I don't get that. Okay, I repeat, you don't want to get behind a cattle truck, but you don't want to get behind a gas propane truck either. And down here, there's any number of overloaded trucks filled to the brim with gas propane tanks. And when you get behind one of those, there is some cause to worry. Every big city down here has hundreds of trucks like that, delivering tanks door to door. Just like in your grandma's day, the milkman delivered milk. Only milk is not explosive, nor highly flammable. Now, the problem with this is that it's every man for himself. With so many people running around with beat-up old pickup trucks loaded to the gills and stacked every which way with dented, rusted, and twisted old propane tanks, well, you don't want to get behind one of those guys, and I'll tell you why. A few months ago, I got to see for myself one of those mom-and-pop gas propane delivery trucks. As it hit a bump and took a bad turn, I watched with my own eyes two propane tanks pop out of the back end and land on the hood of a guy's brand new Honda. But of course, the guy was tailgating. Well, when that happened, I watched the guy in the Honda go into a ditch and hit a tree. And one of those loose propane tanks that hit his car breached on impact, and it was hissing and sputtering. And let me tell you, people cleared out of there because no one wanted to get near it. And when the cops finally came, they shut down that road completely for about 2 hours. Now, that propane tank never did ignite, but man, it would have been chaos if it had. But if you think that's bad, here's something that's even worse. Now, remember I told you before that you could take your own tank, throw it in your car, and go down to the main distributor and have them fill it up right in front of you? Well, a lot of places down here will give you a small discount if you do that. That way, they don't have to come out to your house, use their vehicle, and pay their men. In other words, they'll give you a discount in lieu of home delivery. Which sounds like a good thing, but it's not, believe me. Now, that little savings of, let's say, $5 on a 100-pound tank of propane, which might cost $60 or $70 to refill, well, to you and me and most expats, it's just not worth $5 to throw that thing in the back of your nice car, possibly get a hernia out of it, and drive through all that crappy traffic to the distribution center, which could be some miles away, then sit around there for an hour and wait your turn and fight the traffic on the way back. But for the little family man down here making $200 or $300 a month, now $5 is a little more than a half a day's pay for him. And for a guy like that, it's well worth it for him to take that trip. But you see, by the law of unintended consequences, there's a big problem with that. Now, there isn't an expat that's been down here a while who won't tell you that one of the scariest things to see is a guy in a tiny motorcycle held together with chicken wire and duct tape, toting a 100-pound tank of propane gas, strapped to the passenger seat with bungee cords. Now, a 100-pound tank like that doesn't ride tall in the saddle. It rides sideways, barely balancing on the hump of the seat. And that means it's sticking out 2 feet on either end of that motorcycle. And as that guy's puttering along, he's weaving through traffic like every motorcyclist does down here. But he's got this propane bomb strapped to his back seat, sticking out 2.5 feet on either side. And believe me, you don't want to be near that guy, because he's such a danger to him and everybody else on the road. If he takes a spill, he just might take you and everybody around you with him. And though you got a 50-50 chance that he's carrying an empty tank, believe me, expats, you don't want to take that gamble. In fact, I watched a guy with a 25-pound tank, which looks fairly manageable compared to the 100-pounder. Anyway, I watched him take a spill on a slick road in the rainy season, and his bungee cord snapped, and his gas tank went rolling down the street like a bowling ball on a slick alley. And I don't know where that thing ended up or what it hit, but I'm sure the results weren't pretty. So the bottom line is, every time I see a motorcycle with a tank of propane gas strapped to the back, I get the hell out of the way real fast. Because I don't know about you, but I don't feel like playing chicken with a human torpedo.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America. TheExpatFiles@gmail.com. That's TheExpatFiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
South of the border.